Hello, Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're joining us today for what I believe to be an extremely relevant conversation. As I've gone through adversity in my life, there are times that I've wondered, where is God in the midst of my trials? As I've cried out to him in prayer, I've wondered, why isn't God answering my prayer? Have you ever been at a place in your life where you prayed to God and you wondered why he's not answering your prayer? I like verses like in John, and it says this, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name." He says, "I'll do it." So you go through those moments of your life where you believe in the power of prayer. You reach out to God. You begin to share your requests with him. And for whatever reason, you feel like God didn't hear you. Somebody in your family was sick, and as you prayed for healing, but they weren't healed. A relationship was broken, and you prayed for that relationship to be restored, but then God didn't answer your prayer. As we go through those moments in life, oftentimes we can falter in our faith, and our hope is diminished because we feel like God's not meeting our needs. We feel like God's not listening. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? When Daniel prayed and he was thrown into the lion's den, he was spared. When Jonah cried out from the belly of the great fish, God listened and delivered him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they cried out to God as they were thrown in the fiery furnace, God heard their prayers and protected them. But when Paul prayed about the thorn in his flesh, nothing changed. So did God hear Daniel and Jonah and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and somehow he missed Paul's prayer? I've had those moments in my life where I feel like I've had those Daniel kind of moments where God showed up, where God protected me, delivered me, answered my prayer. But I've also had those other moments where I feel like Paul. If you've been through any kind of adversity like that, you know that it can be frustrating. And we can stumble in our faith. So did God hear Daniel? And did God not hear Paul? Today we're going to talk about unanswered prayers and the frustrations and the heartache that we experience when we feel like God's not near. Almost 28 years ago, I went to a men's retreat. And at this men's retreat, a question was asked of the men, and I don't like these kind of questions, but they asked men to write this down at the men's retreat. What is your greatest fear in life? Well, as a man, I really don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to admit that there's things outside of my control. But the reason I really didn't want to answer that question may sound silly to you. But the reason I didn't want to answer that question is because I felt like if I wrote it down, then it would come true. And so I went through this debate in my head as people are writing on their piece of paper and I wasn't writing. And I kept thinking, man, if I write this down, it's going to happen. And I said, that's silly. That's ridiculous. So on that piece of paper, I wrote my greatest fear in life. 28 years ago, my greatest fear in life was that I'd lose one of my children. And that weekend began this journey for me and for my family to where we would cry out to God and say, God, why aren't you listening to us? God, why aren't you answering our prayers? See, we celebrate the answered prayers in life, man. We celebrate them. We're so excited. But then we sit in silence and anonymity when we feel like God hasn't met our needs. We love the praise stories. But we sit quietly like Paul when we're working through the thorn in our flesh. So why are there times in our life where God doesn't answer our prayer? Here's a couple things I want you to consider as we go through this sermon. Number one, I want you to know this. Sin impacts our prayer life. I think most of you would realize that that's a true statement, that sin impacts our prayer life. Sin has a way of interfering with our life. It interferes with us physically and emotionally. It interferes in so many different ways. When we have sin in our life, oftentimes we're not real eager to reach out to God and to talk to him. But it even goes one step further when we talk about having sin in our life and it says this. God comes right out and says this, if you choose sin over me, I want you to know that I'm not going to hear your prayers. This is what it says in John chapter 9. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. It goes on Isaiah and says this, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And there's more verses that talks about how sin impacts our relationship with the holy God. How in the world can we be disrespectful for God? How can we treat God with contempt? How can we treat his principles with contempt, but then come to God and expect him to hear us and for him to do what we want him to do for us? Our relationship with God is extremely important. And sin has a way of breaking that communication with him. It breaks down that relationship. But it's just not sin in where we violate the principles of a holy God. There are times that when we are in relationship with other people and we have broken relationships, it's very difficult for us to have a healthy relationship with God. When we have a grudge against someone else in life, that horizontal relationship, that broken relationship, has a tendency to impact our vertical relationship. It's very difficult for us to say, man, God, we love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, but then in our heart that we hate our brother. How can we have a proper vertical relationship when our horizontal relationships are broken? We have to understand that sin impacts relationships. When my kids were little and we were in a grocery store and they were fighting amongst themselves and they were being unkind to one another and we were having difficulty with them. And then we walked through the checkout, they would look and say, hey, would you buy us a candy bar? Could you buy us a pack of gum? We're driving in the car and they're fighting in the back seat and they see an ice cream stand. They said, can we stop for some ice cream? What do you think I said as a father? I said, there's no way that we're going to get ice cream. There's no way you're going to get a pack of gum. Because of the way that you're treating one another, I am not going to reward poor behavior. Repentance. Repentance is the key to restoring any kind of relationship. It's coming to a place and realizing that if we're truly going to repent, there are times that we have to ask for forgiveness from God, and there's times that we're going to have to ask for forgiveness from one another. There's time that we have to heal these horizontal relationships if we're going to open up the channels with the Holy God. In communion, as Ethan led us, it tells us in Scripture that when we come to communion together corporately, it's important that our horizontal relationships are in a good place. Because if they're not, he says this, please don't take communion. Fix your horizontal relationship before you come before me and practice the ordinance of communion. Repentance is key to restoring any relationship, whether it's vertical or whether it's horizontal. This is what 2 Chronicles says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Personally and corporately, it is essential that we seek repentance to reopen those channels, not only horizontally, but vertically. Some of the reasons that God doesn't answer our prayers because we are living with choices in our life that offend a holy God, that violate his principles. Maybe one of the reasons that you feel far from God right now and you feel like God's not hearing you is because of the choices that you've made. But it goes beyond that. And sometimes it says this, that sometimes our prayers go unanswered because of this. Wrong motives impact our prayer life. Wrong motives impact our prayer life. James chapter 4 says this, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own personal pleasure. How often is our prayer life like a wish list? How often is our prayer life about us? God, I want a 5,000 to 6,000 square foot home. I'd love to have a bowling alley in the basement, a shooting range. I'd love to have a tennis court, a pond. God, I don't have those things. Why haven't you answered my prayer? God, I want you to know that if you would let me win the lottery, man, what I would do with that money, I would give you 20% of that if you would let me win the lottery. Okay, I don't want to get crazy. Okay, maybe 10%. hey, God, I got $100 riding on this football game. Could you allow my team to win? It's almost ridiculous, but there are times in the Christian faith that as we pray with wrong motives. We pray selfishly. We pray for our pleasure. It's not about the kingdom. It's not about God doing a work in this world. It's about us, and it's self-centered prayer. And he says this, part of the reason that I don't answer prayer sometimes is because we ask with wrong motives. Sometimes you go like, how do we know if we have good motives or not? How do we know if our motives are pure or innocent? Because it talks about our heart sometimes being deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? I want you to know who knows it. God knows it. In Proverbs, it says this, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. God understands the intention of our heart. He sees deep into our soul. And he can evaluate the motives behind what we're asking for. And it says this, sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we have sin in our life. Sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we pray with wrong motives. It goes on and says this, another reason he doesn't answer our prayers is because of this. We have a lack of faith. A lack of faith impacts our prayer life. There are times in life that we pray and we really don't expect God to do anything. We don't expect God to show up. We are just going through the routine of prayer. We say our prayers. We have a request. But frankly, we have lost our confidence in prayer. We don't believe God's going to change anything. And so as we pray, we look at this big world, we say, look at all the stuff that's happened recently with the pandemic. We see terrorism, we see war, we see the economic difficulty, we see sex trafficking, we see all kinds of things around this world going on. And sometimes when we go to pray as Christians, we really don't believe in our heart that anything's going to change, that God's going to do anything, that God's going to hear us. We have lost our confidence in prayer. We feel like prayer is really not going to do any good. This is what it says in Matthew. He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I have to make sure that you understand in this principle of having faith that God can move mountains when his people have faith and pray according to his will. But I want you to know this. He is not a genie in a bottle who's going to grant every single one of your wishes according to your commands. But as we pray according to his will, as we pray according to the big picture, his purpose and his plans, I want you to know this. That God can do things that we can't explain and that we can't take credit for. God moves in ways where we just have to step back and go, yeah, we don't know. But to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. Everything is possible for those who believe. I want you to know that when you pray, faith matters. And if you pray like the sea being tossed to and fro, and you go, God, just if you could just fix this, I'd appreciate it. I want you to know, sometimes God's not going to show up in your prayer. Why? Because you don't have confidence in him, because you don't believe, because you don't have the faith. It's an old story. It's been told so many times. A church has a strip club move down the road from them. They're really upset. They do everything they do to keep the strip club from opening up. Everything. And when the strip club opens up, the pastor goes, I'm going to start praying that God shuts it down. He calls the people of the church together, and they start praying that God shuts his place down. And after their prayers, lightning strikes that facility. It burns to the ground. The guy's out of business. The strip club owner goes and sues the church because he said they destroyed his business. And as they stood before the judge said, what's going on? And this is what the strip club owner said. He said this, you know, hey, I want you to know, this pastor and this church started praying that my business would be shut down, and lightning struck the building, and I'm out of business, and it's their fault. And the pastor looked at the judge, you can't blame us. All we did was just pray. You can't blame us. And the judge sat back and said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I have a guy who's a strip club owner who believes in the power of prayer, and I have a pastor in our church who don't believe in it. Guys, have you lost your confidence in the power of prayer? Have you lost your faith that God can show up and do things that are beyond your expectations, beyond your plans, that he would do things that only he can receive the glory for? But I want you to know, just because you have all the faith in the world, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get what you're praying for, because God's plans and purposes are far greater than ours. Who can know the mind of God? There are times that we pray for healing and God doesn't bring healing, but it's not because we don't have enough faith. It's because God's working together something for good for those who are called according to his purpose. There are times you're going, man, God, I think our company's going to close their doors. And we pray and they still go bankrupt and they close their doors. Like, God, like, why didn't you answer my prayer? But I believe in some of those moments, God does show up because his plans are bigger. Sometimes our prayers aren't being answered. Sometimes my prayers aren't being answered because of sin, because of wrong motives, because of a lack of faith. But even when you have all the faith in the world, even when you pray with the right motives, even when you're living a life that really is pleasing to God, we need to still remember this. God's plans are different than our plans. God's plans are different than our plans. It's not necessarily about our want. It's not about our will, but it's about his will. It's about God seeing the big picture, the puzzle. And while all the pieces aren't put together in the puzzle yet, God understands what it looks like in the end. And he begins to put these pieces together according to his will. And sometimes we don't totally understand what God's trying to do. And sometimes in this life, we don't see it for years. Sometimes we won't know till we stand before him. But God is working a plan out. I think about Paul. God, can you remove this thorn in my flesh? God's plan was different. That's what he told Paul. No. I want you to learn through all of this that my grace is sufficient. Paul, I'm going to use this situation in your life to mold you into who I want you to be. Paul is one of the most important, influential, strategic people throughout all of Christianity. And it was part of that thorn in the flesh in his life that molded him to be, that he understand that God was sufficient. Maybe your unanswered prayers are nothing more than God molding you into being who he wants you to be. Maybe God takes some of those unanswered prayers, and what he's doing through that is he's using you as an instrument to serve other people and ultimately bring glory to himself. Maybe God's taking your unanswered prayers and he's using it to weave this puzzle together for his ultimate glory. I want to end by sharing with you my unanswered prayer. I hope I can make it through this. But for my family, this was a moment of our life throughout my entire life where I looked at God and said, why aren't you answering my prayers? On August 2nd, 1991, my wife went into labor for her fourth child. And into the early morning of the third, she gave birth to a little boy. And as I stood in that room, we had three children prior to that. I was pretty used to the routine of what happened. And as soon as he was born, I realized that something was different. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that my concerns were valid. They whisked my son away and they began to whisper among themselves and they were talking, and I just sat there watching, and I'm kind of watching my wife as they're finishing up with her, but I'm watching what they're doing with my son on the other side of the room. I didn't know what was wrong, and they walked over, and unusually, they usually hand the baby to the mother, but they handed the baby to me. And I remember looking at my son for the first time. And as I looked at his face, I said to myself, this boy has Down syndrome. And as Kim was looking at me, she was like, I want to hold him. And I kept thinking, I was praying. I said, God, please. She's had a long night. It was a hard labor. God, don't let her see this. And I remember handing our son to her. I kept praying, God, don't let her see. Don't let her see what's going on. And I was trying to hold my emotions together. And she was just so exhausted. Afterwards, she went to bed and And early the next morning, our concerns, or my concerns, were confirmed. The doctor said, we got to do more testing, but we truly believe that your son has Down syndrome. As a young couple in their 20s, we sat in the hospital room that day and we just cried. What do you do with that? And as we cried and we prayed and we talked to each other and trying to figure out what our life's going to look like from that day forward, there's something that happened that was almost miraculous, where God gave us a peace. We looked at that little boy and said, you know what? This is a gift from God. We don't know why, but this is God's gift to us. We're going to call our son Nicholas. And we decided to change his name to Nathaniel, because Nathaniel means a gift from God. Well, that little boy came home, and I want you to know that he was spoiled rotten. He was the center of our family. He got all the attention. He became the mascot of our church. If he was in the nursery, there was a line for people who wanted to sit in the nursery and hold him. He was a cool little kid with a huge personality. And frankly, we spent so much time giving him attention that I've never seen a Down syndrome kid as cocky as he was. He was loved, and he was our gift from God. About 8 months into his life, we went to a doctor's appointment. He was not feeling well. And at the doctor's appointment, we found out that our son had a heart defect. And again, being young, we didn't quite understand what that meant. And so as we talked to the doctors, they did more tests, and eventually the doctor came out, and I felt like he was kind of beating around the bush. And I said, Doc, just what are you saying? He said he needs heart surgery, but I'm not sure it's the best decision. He said, I think it's too late. I think the damage has already been done. Man, that's hard for moms and dads to hear, that your son has a major heart defect and he's so sick that they can't do the surgery. But the cardiologist from Dayton Children's Hospital said, I'm going to consult with the cardiologist from Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and we're going to see what we're going to do. And as they consulted together, and the surgeon was in Cincinnati, he said, I think we should go ahead with the surgery. And we agreed. The day of the surgery, man, we were really nervous. We were scared. We were praying. And after the surgery had gone well. But as he sat in the CCU unit, things didn't go well. And Kim and I just sat there by his side hour after hour, day after day. We were exhausted. And I remember there was times where the staff would just say, please go and get some rest. Please go back. And we were staying at the Ronald McDonald House. I remember we'd go back to lay down and get some rest. And it seemed like we weren't even there for a half an hour. We get a call from the CCU unit and say, you need to get up here. He's taking a turn for the worse again. And this went on day after day. And I remember one time I went back and Kim stayed with Nathan. And as I was on the floor, I literally was face down before God. And I was crying out. And I said, God, don't do this to him. If you want him, then take him. But if not, leave him alone. Give him health. And I remember just crying out to God. Nathan came home. And a few months after that surgery, we met with the cardiologist again, and he looked at us and said, I want you to know the surgery was successful, but it didn't change anything. His lifespan's going to be relatively short. And I asked him again, what do you mean by it's relatively short? And this was in the beginning of May. And he said to us, he goes, I want you to know that I don't think your son's going to make it through this summer. I was so angry. I was so angry with God. God, why didn't you listen? God, why didn't you answer my prayer? About a week later, I went to a pastor's conference at Moody Bible Institute. I remember sitting in the first row of the balcony, listening to these nationally renowned speakers talk about the goodness of God, talk about how wonderful this whole thing is. And I remember sitting in the first row of that balcony saying, God, you know what? I don't see it anymore. I don't see your goodness. I don't see the great stuff about Christianity. I had a faith problem. And over the next day and a half, I began wrestling with God. Man, I was mad. And I was talking about things and I explaining how I felt. How I felt like he had abandoned us. How he let us alone. We'd been faithful. We'd done the right things. Why would you do this to our son? And all I can tell you, to make a long story short, is when I walked out of that period of time, God had not changed, but I changed. We enjoyed that summer with Nathan. But 1 week after her second birthday in August, I got a call from her wife and said, you need to get home right now. We got to get him to the hospital. As I drove into the driveway, my wife was walking out with our son in her arms, and she jumped in the car. And we started speeding as fast as we can to Dayton Children's Hospital. And we're going down I-70 in Ohio. And we were telling our son how much we loved him. We sang songs, his favorite songs. We kept affirming how much he meant to us. It was in that car on I-70 that our son passed away in my wife's arms. Guys, I want you to know this. On our son's gravestone, we have a verse. It's my life verse. And it says this. Romans 8:18 says, for the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that one day will be revealed to us. All the doctor's appointments, hospital visits, surgeries, the health complications, everything we went through, even being in a car with our son when he passed away. None of those adversities, none of those trials will ever be able to compare to what I believe Nathan has already experienced and what one day we will experience when we see him. Folks, if you're hurting today, if you're disappointed, if your faith has been shaken, I don't have all the answers. But here's a couple things that I know about prayer. Prayer just reminds me that I'm not in control, but that I'm connected to the one who is. Prayer reminds me that it's not about what I want or by my will, but it's about his will. Can I encourage you today? If you've gone through seasons of adversity, trials, difficulty, you have faltered in your faith, can I ask you to just kind of go through these things and think about it? Does it feel like God's far away from me because I have sin in my life? Maybe because I'm praying with wrong motives. Maybe I just stopped believing that God can do it. Or that you would have the discernment to realize that God's doing nothing more than molding you into who he wants you to be. And he wants to use you in serving others and ultimately to bring glory to himself. Sometimes our unanswered prayer are answered as God works his plan out for our good and for his glory. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that in the times of our greatest adversity, you're still there. In those moments where our mind can't comprehend what's happened, you're still there. And I pray that if we are walking through a season of difficulty, of heartache, of frustration, I pray that people would reach out to you, grab hold, and take refuge in the fortress that you promised them that you would be. For those who are living with barriers in their life, where the channel has been broken, God, I pray that this message today would not be one to where they feel like they've been poked in the eye. Instead, it'd be one where they'd be challenged to look to you and say, God, I'm sorry. I need this relationship. This relationship with you is valuable. God, I want to be everything that you want me to be. I understand prayer is not a Christmas wish list where we come to you and ask you to serve us. But God, we're here to serve you. God, may this message draw more people to be more like you, more into your image. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. If you are living with unanswered prayer, can I give you a word of encouragement as we close? The story of my son, his death, I want you to know that God answered prayers. It was through that little boy's life that we started a special friends ministry, which began to reach out to families in our community who had children with special needs. We started a day camp program which brought people in from as far as Virginia to that program. We got involved in the MRDD program in our county. People heard the gospel. We saw lives being changed. God took a boy's life of 2 years and he used him in an amazing way to bring glory to himself. As you go out this week, remember that God's going to take your story and he can use it not only for your good, he can use it to serve others, but ultimately he can use even some of those unanswered prayers ultimately for his glory. Have a great week.